Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We welcome in a former Toledo Rocket, not an Ohio State Buckeye, John Greco. He joins us on the show. John, how the hell are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing well.
He's a former Cleveland Browns guard as well, current Browns analyst. Do you think that Jameis Winston should return with the Cleveland Browns as starter in 2025?
Yes. Yes. We talked about it last week, the you know, whole bridge quarterback conversation. I think Jameis has shown enough that, you know, he galvanizes the team. The guys obviously love him. We've all seen the clip after they played the New Orleans Saints, how popular he is in the locker room and with his teammates. He shows the ability to lead the offense, you know, get the ball out on time. Does he sometimes, you know, I don't want to say force throws, but throw the ball up for grabs and create a couple turnovers? Yes, but I mean, my God, guys, wouldn't we trade that for completions downfield and seeing some of these receivers take shape and make plays downfield? Absolutely, I would. And, you know, we're not sure what's going to happen in the draft, but if there's a young quarterback on the roster next year or however they decide to approach the quarterback room in the future, I think Jameis is an excellent candidate to at least, you know, get the ball rolling for the 2025 Browns.
Is there such a thing as competition for the quarterback? Because I heard Baskin and Phelps yesterday, they were upset about the possibility of a quarterback competition. I don't believe there's any serious competitions. Either way, I'll tell you what, I don't believe there should be a serious competition with an organization that knows what the hell they're doing. I think that an organization that has a quarterback competition is one that's more than likely doomed.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, especially when there's kind of an old saying, it's, when you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And, you know, competition, like if you have a young guy and a veteran in there, yeah, of course you can kind of at least, it, you know, put out the optic that there's a conversation. But I think you're just behind the scenes trying to create opportunities for the young quarterback to see what he can do in the offseason, to see what he can do in camp, knowing that you have a veteran that's like, okay, he's most likely going to start the season out and lead us. And if you know, things are going well, you ride with him, and, you know, you hope that there's opportunities to get your young quarterback a few reps here and there during the season. But quarterback competitions, especially when they're out in the open, they create distractions. Guys are answering questions about them every day. They're talking about them. And it creates, I think, unwanted and unneeded pressure on a young quarterback to where he should be focused on learning the playbook, learning from a veteran, if we want to call it a bridge quarterback, learning from a guy that's played significant snaps, won playoff games, knows how to lead the team, and you know, it's okay. I know everybody expects, like, instant, immediate results, like you're seeing kind of in Washington and some of these places now. I mean, Bo Nix seems like he's putting things together well. But, you know, I'm kind of old-fashioned to where if you draft a quarterback and, you know, if you force him out there and he doesn't have the right pieces around him, it can, you know, be detrimental to his career, as we've seen a lot of times in Cleveland. So I think it's okay to still roll a veteran out there, a guy that can win you games. If things go south, you know, the fans are going to start to get impatient, and that's the nature of the game. But I kind of like having young quarterbacks just learn from vets and see the game, see how to prepare, see how to lead before you just toss them into the fire.
John Greco with us on the hotline. We got six starts last year out of Joe Flacco, including the playoff game. So far with Jameis, there have been four, and you're about to get five next Monday night against the Broncos in Denver. Are there a lot of similarities there between the two? Obviously, we know Flacco does not move the same way Jameis does, although in the pocket, I was astounded at some of the crafty old man techniques we did see moving in the pocket from Flacco. But what have you seen between the two?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it, Anthony, just the mobility. And, you know, Jameis just has a little bit more escapability and speed to kind of extend plays and save the drive and save the play with some scampering. But both of them, I think it just goes back to that veteran presence and just knowing that, you know, if they see a free runner coming that they know the protection can't account for, to hang in there, be patient, deliver the ball because he trusts the route runners, he trusts the protection, he trusts his progression, and deliver a strike. Where, you know, a young quarterback that time clock kind of goes off in his head, and if he sees a free runner or feels a free runner, he's seeing ghosts, and he's immediately pulling it, running it, or taking a sack, or throwing in a completion or forcing an interception. So that's why I like these veterans. They just have seen guys every single blitz and pressure combination known to man, and they've studied it, and they've repped it, and they've practiced it, and they've seen it in games. So that's what I think those older guys can do. And I think too, guys, and I experienced this at the latter part of my career, you have a different appreciation for the game. You kind of know that, you know, your opportunities and your window is kind of closing, so you're trying to make the best of it. You're having fun. You know, even though there's still a lot of pressure on the quarterback position, you know, they're on a new team with Jameis in Cleveland, and it's snowing, and he's having fun, and he's loving his teammates and saying whatever the hell he wants in interviews, and it's been a great ride, and I hope that they're able to string some more wins along for him for the team to consider bringing him back.
John Greco joining us here on the show. For the future of Nick Chubb, you know, I'm trying to find a way, because we're going to talk about a little bit at 8:20. I always want to remain respectful of it, but what do you think his future is here with the Cleveland Browns?
You know, guys, I'm starting to see him return to the Nick Chubb that we have grown to love and kind of embraced over the last couple years. You know, that's a tough injury, and when you have it multiple times and you're able to recover and rehab and, you know, work toward getting back to your former self, I mean, that's really impressive. And, you know, things got kind of out of whack with the record, and I don't anticipate, and I don't think they should, you know, roll him out there and give him 40 carries. I think the organization's smarter than that. But, you know, if you can work something out and it makes sense numbers-wise, you know, how could you not want to bring the guy back? Running backs are kind of having a resurgence in the league. You see what Saquon Barkley's doing in Philadelphia. If you have a guy that can, you know, Derrick Henry, if you have a guy that can get you 2-3 yards before contact, 4-5 yards, you know, a pop, and you can remain ahead of the chains and be efficient on early downs, that takes so much pressure off your quarterback, no matter who that guy is. And it extends drives, takes pressure off your defense. So, yeah, he is a fan favorite, Nick Chubb. You know, I want to see him be a Cleveland Brown for the rest of his career. And you just only hope that he's going to continue to get strength in his knee, you know, kind of get that confidence back. Because, you know, he doesn't look like he's running tentatively out there. He looks like, you know, he has the confidence and, hey, this thing's back. I'm healthy. I'm ready to roll. But they're trying to be smart about it. So I hope everything works out. I hope we see Nick Chubb in a Browns jersey for the rest of his career.
Is there anything you've seen from him? I mean, obviously the yards per carry is down to 3, and I mean, that is a fraction of what it normally has been. The one thing that has stood out about Nick Chubb his whole career is he's always getting 5-plus yards per carry. So it is weird to see him in this state. People have mentioned the offensive line, but, you know, the other running backs have all averaged more than what Chubb is averaging. Is there, you said not tentative. Is there not a burst there?
No, I think there's a burst, Anthony. And I don't know, you know, you mentioned the other guys in the room. You know, I'd have to look at the sample size. Are there big chunk runs that are, you know, increasing those averages? I'm not sure. I don't have the stat sheet in front of me. But, no, I don't think that he's lost. It, you know, maybe it's a tick a little bit slower than when he's at his peak, 100%. But I think he's still, you know, a top. When things are working out well, I think he's still definitely a top 5 running back in this league. And he will continue to progress back to that. And, you know, you don't forget that it's kind of gone off the rails for the team a little bit here. And you're trying to sprinkle him back in and be smart with them without doing anything, you know, stupid and creating a setback. And then you're really in hot water and in a bad situation. So, no, I you know, you mentioned the offensive line. There were so many different combinations with the offensive line this year, and at times things haven't been the best for them, and it hasn't been great. So I'm not scrapping the season, but if you know, Nick Chubb, hopefully he's part of the future, and you get the offensive line solidified, create some depth there, and they can get back to what we have been used to with them out of the last couple years. I think Nick Chubb is going to have another banner season. Especially after a full off season of really letting that thing rest and strengthening and recovering fully. But I think he still has a lot of good miles left in the tank.
John, thank you for the time. Have a great holiday.
Guys, have a Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Yes, sir. John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming up next, a very honest and respectful conversation about Nick Chubb and his future with the Cleveland Browns.
Over in Milwaukee. Now, they've righted the ship a little bit. They have won, I think, like 6 of their last 7 and 5 in a row. However, there was speculation about Doc Rivers, whether he'd get fired midseason.
The good Dr. Rivers.
So, listen to this passage in HoopsWire.
Passage.
Milwaukee has high expectations for the Milwaukee Bucks this year, and ownership appears to believe there is still plenty of time to get things turned around. Rivers recently told reporters in Cleveland that he speaks with part owner Jimmy Haslam every day.
Oh, hello.
Every day.
He's going to call him on Thanksgiving?
He said every day. That's a day. So, my first question was, how often do you think Kevin Stefanski talks to Jimmy Haslam?
If he's talking to one, he's got to be talking to the other every day.
Well, who is initiating those conversations? Is Jimmy Haslam checking in on Doc Rivers every day? Is he demanding? Not. I'm not going to say nefariously, but...
Oh, it sounded nefarious.
No, I mean, he's owner. Owner gets to have the kind of conversations he wants to have. And every team in sports has a different pecking order.
Does Jeff Miller check in with us every day?
I think I've checked in with Jeff more than he's checked in with
me. Okay, so there you go. So maybe it's Doc Rivers' decision.
It's not. In that case, it's not something formal. Like, and I'm also not in a decision-making position. Kevin Stefanski is, presumably, right? And Doc Rivers, obviously, is. So it is interesting sometimes to, you know, peel back the curtain and see how these dynamics work. The NBA is very different from the NFL. You know, you just have one game a week, one game that is the sole focus of your entire enterprise. In basketball, it's not the case.
Nope.
Like, it's... I know
you lose on a Monday, you got to pick it up by Wednesday.
Yeah, I know the Cavs never lose. They've lost one game all year. But normally, it's not about winning every game. It's about putting you on the best path for the full season. So I do wonder, when I hear that with an owner that we know has, in the past, in years past, has been deemed a meddler, right?
Yeah.
And I don't feel that he's had to meddle with this organization. I know they're having a bad year, but I don't feel that he's had to do that.
No.
In recent years, because he's opted towards stability. You don't have the turnover that you've had, you know, in previous iterations under Haslam. So
no.
Do you think his head coach should be talking to him every day? His football head coach.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you don't seem to care.
Is it a bad thing? Is it a bad thing to talk every day?
I don't necessarily think it is. It
all depends. Right, so how do you want me to answer it?
It depends on the substance of those conversations.
I don't know, man.
Jimmy Haslam asking about, hey, why did you go with that rotation yesterday with your team? Why did Giannis play that many minutes? Okay, I could see that becoming a problem because now you're impressing a certain narrative onto your head coach.
What if? Well, I'm not going to ask that yet. I'll ask that here in a second. I mean, Judas Priest, Anthony. Like when they're, if they were 8-3, nobody would want Jimmy Haslam talking to the head coach. But when you're 3-8, I mean, before this win over the Steelers, why doesn't Haslam step in and fire him? Why are we holding on to these guys? So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Now, what if this always sort of, you know, football guys always want to be basketball players. Football players always want to be basketball players. What if Jimmy's really a basketball guy and he wants to be a football guy? What if he's like Red Arrowback and you have no idea? And Doc Rivers is talking to him and all of a sudden, what Jimmy's saying is working. Just watched Hoosiers enough times and now he knows the offense and here we go. I mean, you just ask yourself.
Well, this gets back. I know we got other things to get to.
I don't have a good reason other than, yeah, he's the boss and you talk to the boss every day and that's the way it goes. Other than, if things are going well, we perceive it as, hey, they talk every day, that's great. If things aren't going well, then it's obviously seen as a problem.
No, I would say maybe it's a little different from that because what do fans say when things are going south? And what have they told us for the last however many weeks of the season?
They wanted people fired.
Well, they wanted people held accountable. What if those conversations are part of that accountability? What if that is a part of it? Like, what if maybe it wasn't like that until things went south, and then Jimmy's like, I need to know why this is going south.
All right, look at
both situations.
I need
to know why that team, why Washington is winning games, and I know they've cooled off. I want to know why these other situations seem like these other teams have passed us when our roster is this expensive. Like, if you were an owner, wouldn't you want answers to those questions? I don't know if you'd want them every single day.
I would. I get mad if you were answering the same way every single day and nothing was changing. So I would get mad at you. But, all right, think about it like this. I don't think anybody should ever get fired out of anger. Don't be firing coaches because you're mad. People call in, they're mad, they want coaches fired. I'm like, well, you're mad. Who would you replace so and so with? It doesn't matter. Anybody. That's an angry person.
Yes, that's a fan.
Yeah. Now I've been fit to be tied before. I mean, I spent a whole show wanting Bernie to be the general manager years ago. Not that I think Bernie would be so terrible at it, but I was fit to be tied with the way things were going at the time. So you kind of want that faith and give somebody every chance they can before you were to make a decision of great consequence. Firing a coach in the NBA can be a decision of tremendous consequence, good, bad, usually one or the other. Same thing in the NFL. So I wouldn't want to come to a decision quickly. And I would like to give, because when you sign up for a new coach, you sign up for a philosophy. You sign up for a way of thinking, different theory of what you want to do. That's what you're trying to do. And so you don't want to just so quickly go away from that. So I would give him every chance I could. So yeah, I'd be on the phone with him. That's just me. I don't know. I'm not the owner. If it were Kenny Carman, the owner of the Cleveland Browns or the Milwaukee Bucks or both, that's probably how I would conduct it. But I wouldn't do it any other way. I would probably figure out another way to do it if I were coming up through there. 216-474-0092. All right, you ready to have a very honest and open discussion,
Absolutely.
A respectful discussion about Nick Chubb? Could this be playing into the Browns' hands the way that this season is playing out right now? He's coming back from a serious injury. Now, he's found the end zone. He's done it a couple of times. There have been times I've seen tremendous burst out of him. We haven't seen it altogether throughout the entire season because, I mean, he's coming back from serious injury. I've been bitter because of this, quote, running back renaissance. Saquon Barkley, MVP candidate. Derrick Henry, doing such a tremendous job with the Baltimore Ravens. All right? You have these great running backs that are there, and it's like, man, Nick's not getting his just due because he's coming off an injury.
Yeah.
They're using him in end zone or red zone situations, short yardage situations. We see the burst, but we don't get enough of the taste all the time. Could this be playing into the perfect scenario where it's like, hey, man, you don't have to talk about this being the last year. Like, I'm not saying don't draft any other running backs. You're going to have to draft probably a running back at some point here. But Nick Chubb is not pricing himself out of the Cleveland Browns right now. Fans love him. I love him. You can hear it in my voice. I'm tippy-toeing around all this. So you know how much respect we have for the guy. Could it be playing with, all right, by the time the new league year comes around in March, hey, you know, you had a rehab season. You're 29. Can we bring you back in some capacity? Could he possibly, hey, let's start you out as our version of Kareem Hunt from last year or 2 years ago and then see where it goes from there.
Mm.
Is that any sort of possibility? I'm being honest and respectful in every possible way because I've seen what running backs are doing for some of these other teams. Now, I'm a big person who says, hey, you guys who say running backs don't matter, I think there's certain running backs who do matter. I don't think you can just throw a blanket on the position and say they don't matter. I could sit here and throw a blanket on the quarterback position and say quarterbacks matter. No, there's certain quarterbacks. I don't care what you do with them. Tommy DeVito, whatever. Cooper Rush, I don't care what you do with Cooper Rush. But there's certain quarterbacks out there. Well, it's like, you got to protect them. You got to take care of them. They have great talent.
It's a different position. Like, a great running back is not going to win you a ton of games on a terrible team.
I think that's what
we have proven.
But it's going to help another team.
Sure.
Add that other dimension, that's going to make them that much better.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Browns have had that dimension when they've had good quarterback play.
Yeah, Baltimore's been good, but now with Henry, they're even better. At least I know the record isn't, but they seem like a more formidable bunch.
Yes.
And obviously Saquon Barkley is helping Philadelphia, and now he's an MVP candidate, as that conversation has exploded. With Nick Chubb, I mean, I don't think at this stage, I don't even think he'd be able to command, like, J.K. Dobbins has a fourth of the career carries. He's 4 years younger, and he only was able to sign $1 million deal with the Chargers. So I think you'd be looking at kind of that situation. I don't think there's going to
Dobbins,
I don't think there's going to be a free agency frenzy for Nick Chubb.
Dobbins hasn't shown what Nick Chubb has shown, but you're right. Like, now you go back to the injury. Like, I think his history starts again from the injury, from the make and fetch Patrick play on to what you do. But I'm thinking that this might be a good thing for the Browns. You keep a guy who fans love. I think at times has shown burst. You give him an offseason. Hopefully things work out the rest of the season. He don't get hurt again. He continues to build momentum. You give him an offseason. He is not an expensive running back. And then you think, all right, it makes sense for the Browns. It makes sense for him. He likes it here. The fans like him here. He is, I think, an olive branch to the fans, especially considering everything else that's gone on. I think the fans love him. I don't have to overpay him. He doesn't have to be overpaid. He gets a chance to play again in the NFL, and we can do another incentive-laden deal. Can we do something like that with Nick? If you get to this many touchdowns, whether it be short yardage or whatever, you get escalators in the contract.
Now, you can do that as long as doing that does not get in the way, kind of like Carlos Hyde did at the start of the Nick Chubb era.
That's fair.
That I don't want. And I don't want all the goodwill that kind of Nick has built up, and rightfully so. I mean, outside of Myles Garrett, he's been the best Cleveland Brown in my lifetime. It's kind of like 1A, 1B, and you can figure out how you want to choose them.
Point.
I don't want that to get in the way of them expanding and turning over the running back room. Like, we know Nick Chubb is not a part of the future. So what are they doing towards that end? That's what I'm saying. I hope Nick Chubb, the warm and fuzzies of Nick Chubb trying to come back from that injury does not get in the way of them doing what they need to do to improve the running back room. Because this year, if you look at their running back room, Zach Jackson was on this in camp. He's like, it's one of the worst in the NFL this year. And it's kind of proven to be that, right?
But I don't think that Nick is part of that reason because of the injury that happened. But
it's not his fault.
That is going to happen until next year. Yeah. Coming up next, the great Jim Tressel. Buckeye legend. 22 2002 national champion. I beg your pardon. 2002 national champion. We got Ohio State, Michigan coming up on Saturday. Who does he give the edge to? And what does he think of Ryan Day scoring that extra touchdown Saturday against Indiana? He's coming up next on the Fan.
This time around, no better person to talk to about that and this rivalry and the state of college football than Jim Tressel, appearing right now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coach, we are so thrilled to be talking to you coming up on what is a huge, huge week for Ohio State.
Well, there's no question about that. This is the best week of the year, and it's exciting all over the state, and it's going to be a special day on Saturday.
Coach, can you take me back to 2001 and the morning you woke up at the Ohio State-Michigan game, remembering what you said, 310 days before that at the basketball game, knowing, like, hey, you're in a hostile environment, you were not picked to win that game, if I'm not mistaken, and you guys went in there and took it away. Can you go back to that morning and the lead up to that football game?
I was just so excited that morning I'd been in three Ohio State Michigan games as an assistant, but this was the first one as the head coach, and I was so excited for our players because our seniors hadn't won in that rivalry, and I was just so excited for them to have that opportunity. And really, all I could think about was I just wanted them to go out there and play as hard and as fast as they could, and see if we could get them one.
In moments like that, do you think that something inspiring has to be said to the team, or are you the type of person that's like, what has been said has been said. You know how big this is. It's up to you.
Yeah, you think about that game all year round. You study that game all year round. You set out in preseason to get better every day so that you'll be at your best in that game. And that's probably the week where you probably say the least, because they're locked in and it's important to them. And so you just want to make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's and getting ready to play against a great team.
Do you think that's kind of a sliding doors moment, that game, and we played the speech as you just jumped on with us from the basketball game? Do you think if you guys don't win that first game, the rest could be different? Or do you have enough confidence that things were going to work itself out in this rivalry?
Oh, gosh, you never know. Momentum is an interesting thing. And if you can build momentum and build a little bit of belief, I think obviously that's helpful. We played against a lot of really good Michigan teams, games that could have gone either way. It's sure good to get off to a good start. Well, who was it? It was either Plato or Aristotle. Beginning is half the journey, and it's good to get a good beginning.
Coach, I know you think this is dumb sports talk radio, but that is actually the third Aristotle reference that's been made in the history of this show. So you are still a little bit behind on that.
Okay.
Coach Jim Tressel joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Buckeye legend. And I mean this in the best way possible. You get here. You were an assistant before, head coach at Youngstown State, great success there. So you know what it means in this state. But, before you got here, it's like, hey, 9-2 is a fine season, and that's the way it goes. Then you win a national championship in 2002. In a way, do you feel responsible for the pressure that an Ohio State head coach faces now in 2024?
Oh, I don't know about responsible. I think anyone that goes and sits in that chair and thinks back to the history, all the way back to Paul Brown and, Francis Schmidt and Wes Fessler and Earl Bruce and John Cooper and Urban Meyer. And, I know that Ryan Day is a passionate guy to uphold the tradition. And he really does a great job, I think, of focusing in on the task at hand. But deep down, he wants to uphold the tradition, and means a lot to him. And he knows that it means a lot to the people that just love Ohio State football, and that it's one of the things that they're passionate about. But you're so busy as a coach, I don't know if you have time to feel pressure. when there's only so many seconds and minutes of every day to get ready for a game like this, and so you're kind of in a little cocoon. And then once the game starts, you don't feel pressure at all because, you know, you're at work. You're studying everything that's going on and communicating with players and coaches and officials and everyone else. So I don't know that you have time to feel it. Maybe after the game you feel it a little bit one way or the other, but...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm really proud of what Ryan's doing.
We're talking to Ohio State head coach Jim Tressel for so many great seasons. Of course, the 9-1 record against Michigan. So obviously, you know exactly what is on the line this week. This was Ryan Day this week on the coach's show in Columbus that airs statewide and broadcasts locally there on WBNS. Listen to head coach Ryan Day on what this means.
We felt what it's like to not win this game, and it's bad. It's one of the worst things that's happened to me in my life, you know, quite honestly. Other than losing my father and a few other things, like it's quite honestly for my family the worst thing that's happened. But we can never have that happen again, ever.
All right, so that right there is the head coach of a team that has lost this game three consecutive years. You get a chance to talk with him from time to time, and there's a lot of Ohio State related, you know, goings on that happen year round that you're a part of. You talk to coach about getting off the schneid and what has happened the last 3 years.
You know, the thing that he and I have talked a lot about in the last 2 or 3 years is, you know, everyone wants to talk about, did we win that game? Which is really a distraction to thinking about, what do I have to do at this moment? And it's tough on the players, you know, because players get evaluated, did you win that game? And if you start thinking about, am I going to win the game rather than win the moment, is when you probably don't play as well as you can or coach as well as you can. And so we've talked a lot about the fact that winning those individual situations, winning those individual battles, and not taking the temptation to get up on your tiptoes and see what the final score is, because you have to create the final score. And I think he's done a great job of helping his people focus on the moment. And, you know, let's think back to last year. You know, I think Michigan had a tremendous football team. I mean, the way they rolled through the playoffs, they were a great football team. And we were 20 yards from beating them. And we were probably their toughest game. But, you know, it was one play, two plays. So, you know, just focusing on the moment, each play that happens, each decision you have to make, you know, that's what's important. Thinking about the final result, that can only distract you.
Jim Tressel with us on the hotline. There's been a debate about just how good Will Howard has been, the transfer. So he's not somebody from here that necessarily, quote, understands the rivalry. Of course, you had a Michigan quarterback in Craig Krenzel helping lead the way to turn the fortunes around in that rivalry. What have you seen from Will Howard? And can, in this transfer universe, can it be that guys outside of this region can come in and put their stamp on it, especially at the quarterback position?
You know, Will does really remind me of Craig in a lot of ways. You can just tell that he is going to will a victory. I mean, he's going to refuse, you know, to lose. And I thought his comments after the game last week were really, really on point when he said, when they asked him about the upcoming rivalry game, and he said, you know, I've only been here a year. I know how important this is, but you know who this is important to, is these guys that have been here a long time. And it goes without saying, who it's important to is the people that have loved the Buckeyes for a long time. It's always been their team. They've always been with them. And he's just got a maturity about him. He's got a toughness about him. And yeah, I agree. He reminds me of Craig Krenzel.
Coach Jim Tressel joining us on the show. I mean, it sounds like you go what you say about Will Howard and what you said earlier in a previous answer. It's almost like you can't look at it like just a fan would, where it's like, hey, that's the result. You have to live it and breathe it and love the process the entire year around to actually go out and get the results that the fans want in this game.
That's right, but you have to do it one play at a time. And that's why that focus, you know, is so critical, and you have to be so laser focused, and hopefully what you've done through your preparation all winter and spring practice and summer training and preseason and the first, you know, 11 games, hopefully you've prepared yourself to be at your very best on this day. And that's what we always shot for, you know. And Ryan and I have talked a lot about the fact that if you go back and look at all the great teams at Ohio State, the greatest ones have been undefeated in November. And that was something we talked about, and here we are at, what, 4-0? You know, we had five games in November counting this coming one. Mm-hmm. And to be undefeated in five games is hard. And but here we are at 4-0, and we have an opportunity, if we have improved and if we focus on one play at a time, that, you know, maybe we can reach that standard of being an undefeated team in November. And usually great things happen if you end up undefeated in November.
How personal do coaches take things when other coaches say things, even to pump up their own team? How personal do you take it as a coach when another coach says something publicly that might mention your program?
You know, I think just your natural instincts are that, you know, you're not pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, though, you've got to make sure is that it doesn't distract you, because, you know, that statement or maybe that angst, anger, whatever it is that it creates, is not going to contribute to your execution of every single play. And, you know, it may give you just that little bit of extra juice, who knows? But, you know, the answer is stay focused on who you are.
Because, you know, and I've been a critic of Ryan Day in the past in certain situations. However, I defended him this week. A lot of people were critical of him in that last touchdown. And honestly, Coach, I thought, well, you know, you're not just protecting a program. You're protecting a program of the standard of Ohio State. And you always have to let people know that you're the king of this conference. Even if you add teams, you're going to be the king. And when you say something about my program, I'm going to let you know about it one way or the other if that happens. What did you think of the situation?
Gosh, you know what? Those are really hard situations to be put in, quite honestly. And only the person that's in them knows what the needs of the team are, what the needs of the program are. And, you know, one thing that I would never do is I would never question someone's call or someone's decision in the heat of it. You know, it's just, you have to be there to understand that.
Jim Tressel, we appreciate your time. I do want to ask one more question. You were somebody who won four national championships at Youngstown State. There was a playoff format there. If I'm a head coach in college football and I'm in this year's playoff, you might be the first call that I make. What is the difference between, hey, winning a one-game takes-all national championship, you've been a part of that, and what the gauntlet is, and the amount of games, the sheer amount of extra football that needs to be played for all these teams, including potentially Ohio State?
Yeah, you know, Ryan and I have talked a lot about that over the course of time. You know, the reality that, you know, it's going to be a lot more games, you know, and the wear and tear on your team. And we talked a lot about, you know, how your practice is tweaked a little bit, knowing that, you know, our goal at Youngstown State was always to play 15 games, and six times we did, and that was a long road. And the healthy teams win in the playoffs. The teams that, you know, everyone talks about data and so forth, and the science of everything is really important, but the art of everything is important, and the art of practicing, practice length, you know, how much do you add and delete from your game plan, how do you keep the mental focus, knowing, you know, you're going to play maybe four straight top 10 teams in a row. And so your health is important. you know, how full is your emotional gas tank? Because it's not just the physical tank that's important. And so, yeah, I think it is a little bit different. And the good news is guys like Ryan, and I'm sure some of the other coaches have had conversations about that, have thought about, you know, what's the impact of that. And so you kind of go through different quarters of your season. You know, you might have your early season, first quarter with the non-conference, and then your long line of conference games. You might be broken into two quarters. Well, the fourth quarter of your season is your postseason. And postseason today is different than when it was a one-game bowl or a two-game playoff. And so you have to adjust to each quarter of your season. And I think the good ones have been planning that way. And I know Ryan has been thinking through that and making sure that the massages, how they do things and what they're going to do going forward. But right now, he's only concerned about one thing, and that's finishing this part of the season, November, with a victory.
Well, Coach, awesome perspective. I know you're going down to Columbus, and you'll be a part of the festivities coming up this weekend, and nobody better to talk to. Really, on the eve of a game like this, of this kind of importance, we appreciate you coming on, Coach.
Thanks so much. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Jim Tressel, Ohio State football coach.
That's awesome.
That was a pleasure. What a great, great, great job
awesome.
Of him just taking us through what a playoff format, what the gauntlet would be like.
I'm 14 years old all over again. 14 years old all over again. That's awesome. That's just so awesome. But a big thanks to him for joining us on the show, getting you ready for Ohio State, Michigan. Doug LaMaurice will join us tomorrow at 9. Rodney McLeod about to join us in studio here. He has a big event coming up later on this afternoon over in Maple Heights. Lyme and I will be a part of it. We'll be talking about that a little bit with Rodney here over the next hour. And what did he think?